Hi, everyone. My name is Nikki Lively, and I'm the clinical director of the Transitions to Parenthood program at the Family Institute. We're a team of psychotherapists specializing in reproductive mental health and provide therapy and support to women, men, infants, couples, and families in this important life transition. Today, I'll be talking to Christina Cohen, journalist and author of the book, When Postpartum Packs a Punch, Fighting Back and Finding Joy. In this wonderful book, Christina shares her own experience with a perinatal mood and anxiety disorder in the aftermath of a traumatic birthing experience, and the stories of other women and men who struggled in different ways in the postpartum period. First, I want to thank you personally for the contributions your book makes to normalizing postpartum experiences and how soothing this is for new parents to know they aren't alone through reading that others have struggled too. May is Maternal Mental Health Awareness Month, and your book is an important contribution, I think, to shifting expectations for new parents and building awareness of what they need. I think it also helps establish perinatal mental health in particular as a public health issue that deserves action and advocacy. So thank you so much for writing it. You start the book by sharing your own story of developing a perinatal mood and anxiety disorder following the traumatic birth of your first child. I wonder what it was like to revisit this experience for the book, and what parts of your experience stand out to you now, looking back on it today?
Sure. So first, what it was like to revisit, it was, I would say, cathartic and healing. I know that those terms are used a lot, but it really was healing to go back sort of into the weeds as I was writing. And writing makes you do that just naturally. It makes you explore things deeper. I also learned a lot while I was doing that. So I would say the two big things were that it was healing and it was a learning adventure for me. So for example, what did I learn that I didn't already know? And in chapter two, I take a look at what trauma taught me. So I think there's a section in there called What Trauma Taught Me. I think that's the subhead. And I had to think about that. What did trauma teach me? And I had to lay out my thoughts and write them down. And then I brought all of my writing to a critique group on Saturdays. So I had a group of fellow writers who would read everything in my manuscript, and they would read my first pass at whatever it was and say, do you really mean that? Maybe we could revise that, etc. So then I would take their revisions in mind, go back, edit the piece, and then bring it back to them. And that process of writing, critiquing, revising really got at the truth for me. And the truth, you know, sort of explored the right way and what I really mean to say. So sometimes you'll write things down and there's stuff in the way, and the critiquing cuts out the weeds of that. And then your second point, what stands out? I had to think about that for a while, but now when I look back, despite whatever I felt then, the inadequacy, the pain, the grief, I see now that I was able to love my son well and that I did care for him well. And I wouldn't say that I knew I was doing that in the moment. That takes, you know, 9 years of perspective. My son is nine now. And so I look back and I think, wow, I was doing a good job despite everything that happened. And I can say that honestly to myself now and believe that. And so the lesson there, I think, is that women do better as mothers, as first-time mothers, than we think we do. And I don't think we give ourselves enough credit or enough leeway.
So another thing that I liked about your book is that you address birth trauma, which I think is really common, and more so because of what you're careful to specify is that it is in the eye of the beholder. Like, what's traumatic for one person would not be traumatic for someone else. And I think even more important, what's routine for a medical professional is still going to possibly be traumatic for the people, you know, the new dads, the new moms in the room, the woman going through it. So I think you give permission for women to honor what they've experienced, really listen to themselves with your message about birth trauma. And I'm wondering if you have any other thoughts about this and any ideas about how birthing providers could do a better job serving women in labor and delivery.
One thing I would say is to look at the research by Cheryl Titano-Beck. She is an excellent resource, and I believe she's at the University of Connecticut. So, you know, if you're a care provider, I would look her up and see what she has to say specifically in her reports and her research. She's an author and a researcher. I think that's what her titles are. So that's the first thing. Another thought I had about this is that birth trauma is one form of trauma that women can go through. And that means anything that happens during childbirth, an intervention, an unplanned C-section, forceps. I had forceps. And then there's the idea of past trauma. So if a woman was abused or raped or abused in childhood, all of that can come back as well. Even if she, say, has a fine, the birth is not traumatic, but she was abused in her past, that could come up. So it's important to know the distinction between those two things. And then another thing I would say personally that I experienced was what entered into my experience was loss. So I had lost my mom when I was 15, and that all came up to the surface when I had my son. I knew it would be around somehow. I knew I would have to confront the issues of my mom not being there. I didn't know exactly what that would feel like, but I'm sort of a type A person. And I thought, well, I had therapy as a kid. I've dealt with this. I've written about it. I know I'm going to be all ready, but you can't be until you go through it. And, you know, like any human being, I thought, oh, I have to go through this again. And, but it really was a good thing to go back and revisit some of the stuff about my mom and not having her there and to look at her in a new light, because now I was looking at her as a mom myself and I never had that experience before. So a previous loss, I think, can enter into a woman's mental state as well. And I don't know that we would define that as trauma. Certainly it was traumatic to me when I was 15 to lose my mom. I wouldn't say that it was, I'm not an expert on trauma, so I don't know what you would call that, but it's certainly present. And I think care providers would do well to know a woman's history. Did she have abuse or trauma in her past? Did she lose a parent? Did she have a severe loss of any sort? That's important, really important to know, because then you can care for her well, knowing her mental state. Any loss is still going to come up to the surface.
You also talk about just normal, uncomplicated births in your book. This is a quote that I really liked. Not unlike a soldier in combat, the woman is vulnerable and faces uncertainties. The stakes are life and death. There's a lot at stake in terms of the mom's health and the baby's health. And so it's very scary, especially when you've never gone through it before. I'm wondering about, for the sake of women, what your sense is of what they need to emotionally prepare before and during a birth, and what they need, even if everything is uneventful, to recover from the experience.
The first thing I would say is a new mom needs to have at least one source of unconditional love, and that can be difficult to come by. We often think of who loves us unconditionally. Well, our parents usually, and it's usually our moms. So it might not be your mom who is that one source, but you do need someone to give you that affirmation and that unconditional love. And it could be an aunt, it could be a friend, it could be your spouse, okay? But one person. Another thing that I think is really important, and this does fall on the partner or spouse, is to have a very defined sense of partnership. I know as the mom, and I've talked to my other mom friends, no matter what, the mom needs to feel like she has a partner, because the mom who has the baby she's just going to feel like she's more responsible no matter what. You're going to feel like, okay, yes, there's another parent, but I had the baby. I'm responsible. I need to feed it. If something goes wrong, it's my fault. I still feel that way. And my kids are 9 and 6. And I think, you know what? If they need something, I have to be there first. However, you can have a real strong partnership and feel less alone, because I think we tend to isolate ourselves as moms, and we can also feel isolated. So I think it's important that the spouse be very supportive and extend that and make it well known to the mom that I'm in this with you. I might not be having the baby, but I'm your partner and we're meeting this together.
So you say in your book, treatment and time stitched my frayed ends, but I was fundamentally changed. Parts of me are stronger, parts of me are still broken and messy. That's long been true, but motherhood forced me to admit it. What would you like women to know about the opportunity that comes with motherhood to revisit some of these places?
So I would say, first, it is an opportunity, and I think it is an opportunity to open them and heal them. And you might think, I mentioned this before, that you've healed all of your wounds. And I thought, you know, I saw a therapist. My parents divorced when I was 8, and then they had joint custody and I split my time. So I started seeing a therapist then. And then when I was 15, my mom died from breast cancer. And so I kept seeing that therapist from the time I was 8 until I was 18. So about a decade. And that really helped me. And I thought, as an adult looking back, oh, well, I was in, you know, therapy 10 years. I healed all that. I'm fine. I'm good. I was 34 when I had my son. And you're very different at 18 compared to a 34-year-old woman who's had her first child. It was an opportunity for me to heal things that I didn't really know needed to be healed. Childbirth was that pivot point. And I think we need pivot points like that, whether it's childbirth or something else. But I can say that I have, having kids probably healed me more than anything.
I also love that your book addresses the experience of postpartum fathers. What was the most surprising or interesting thing that you learned from the experiences of the fathers you interviewed? And if you noticed anything different in terms of like themes and their stories versus the women that you interviewed?
I had an idea to include dads maybe in a back section with back material for them. And as I did the reporting and the research, I had people say, you need to do a chapter for men. Men are different. They're just different and you need to write something. So I thought I really should. And as I started doing the research, there were plenty of things that surprised me and I found incredibly interesting. Dads can be just as vulnerable as moms, and we don't like to think that men are strong and, you know, they save everything and protect and provide, and I think we still have those notions, but their brains are just as delicate. When I was doing the chapter on OCD, Dr. Jonathan Abramowitz said to me, and when he did his research to see how prevalent intrusive images are, he found that almost 100% of all new parents, that's moms and dads, get intrusive images. So it doesn't have to be just the mom.
I'm curious, just going back to your book now, what do you hope or most hope that people will take away after reading your book?
Sure. It's just that word you used, hope. That was my goal in writing this book. And when I was going through postpartum depression, I thought, I want a book to read, and I couldn't find the book that I wanted. I found a blog and I found plenty of clinical resources. And, you know, this is what postpartum depression is clinically defined as XYZ. But what was most helpful to me was when I was sharing with my friends and they said, oh, I had this, or this happened to me, or I think I had postpartum depression, but I never sought help. Those stories made me feel normal because I thought, oh, and you're fine and your child is fine. You know, everything's good with you now. So maybe there's hope for me. I wanted that hope. And I thought, if I'm going to give back to people through my writing, I've got to provide that hope that I got.
Any final thoughts you'd like to share with women and families about just the transition to parenthood?
Find one person that you trust. You don't have to broadcast what you're going through on Facebook or to 25 people, you know, that you have varying levels of trust for. One person that you trust implicitly. It might not be your mom. It might not be a family member. It might not be your spouse or partner. It might be your coworker or a friend or a therapist or your OB or your pediatrician. But find one person. And I think that's the door that you walk through to start getting well. Because if you trust them, they're going to have your best interest at heart. And they're going to say, okay, well, let's get you help. And they'll get you help. And to find that one person, you know, you go back to your instincts. And your instincts will tell you if it's the right person. When I was going through it, I shared with my husband. And my mother-in-law was with us by the time I started to not feel so good. And so I told her and then my cousin. And between the three of them, I felt very supported. And I knew that they weren't going to betray my trust. That's my final thought.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today. For more information on Christina Cohen and to buy her book and to read her great blog, go to www.christinacohen.com. That's KristinaCohn.com. This podcast is brought to you by the Family Institute at Northwestern University, a nationally recognized leader in the field of behavioral health. We bring together the right partners to support children, adults, couples, and families across the lifespan. As researchers, educators, and therapists, we work with our clients and partner to see change. If you would like to request an appointment, please call us at 847-733-4300, extension 263. You may also visit our website at family-institute.com. relationship-institute.org. And please follow us on Facebook and Twitter for relationship tips and tools and for updates on new podcast episodes. Thanks so much for listening.